Well, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Port of Astoria Board of Commissioners. Regular session meeting. I'd like to call the meeting to order. And we start off with a roll call, please.
Commissioner Hill.
Here.
Commissioner Spence.
Present via Zoom.
Commissioner Rome.
Here.
Commissioner Campbell.
Here.
And Commissioner Stevens.
Here.
We've got John asleep in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have a roll call. Who we have on Zoom besides Commissioner Spence?
I see Chris Gibbs. And that's it. From the airport.
I didn't get that.
Chris Gibbs. From the airport.
Oh. And?
Frank Spence.
Okay, there's two. Okay. Thank you. Well, we're going to begin tonight with commission reports. Mr. Hill, could you start us off, please?
Boy, it's been a long time. I don't have anything.
Commissioner Rome.
Yes, I just want to compliment the staff on their putting together the Port of Astoria flyer.
Yeah.
Actually, bring it to a local hairdresser, and people are interested in what the port's doing, so.
Very good.
Compliments.
Mr. Campbell.
I have nothing to report.
Well, on my end, I wanted to mention we had a cruise ship in last week, and I dropped by here to see how things were going with regard to the customs clearance. And I stopped at the cruise ship office, and they said that things were going much better. Apparently, there was some wisdom involved with this visit where the cruise ship provided some assistance and we formed a team apparently with customs and we managed to get the people through expeditiously compared to past visits. Now, I think the ship only had about 2,000 passengers, is that correct? 3,000, so still it was a relatively small cruise ship. I don't know how we're going to function with 4,000 or more. But anyway, it was good news. And they did thank the Port of Astoria for fighting a good fight with customs over that. That's all I have to report. Changes and additions to the agenda?
We do have one addition, and I think commissioners, we emailed a copy earlier today, and it's also a printed copy with the yellow on front. And this is a intergovernmental agreement for the acceptance of a $125,000 grant through the Oregon State Marine Board. I through email made the commission aware that we were getting this award. I think it was last week. And we just got the documentation in time, so we were hoping, due to the nature of this and probably not being real controversial, that we could get this approved tonight so we could start moving forward.
Excellent idea. Is there any urgency to get it done first, or we just put it in there as action item E, ECHO?
I think that's fine.
Okay. So the change will be to include a action item 9 ECHO, the intergovernmental agreement from the Oregon Marine Board giving us money. Certainly, we put it in. We need a motion.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Just to let you report that I had that unfortunate trip and fall situation, ended up in the hospital for 3 days last week. So, threw up my equilibrium, and that's why I'm not being able to be present at the meeting, but I'm fortunate to be able to have be able to participate through the Zoom.
Thank you, Commissioner. We wish you well. Sorry to hear about that. So hurry up and get well.
Thank you.
Do appreciate the fact that you're coming in on Zoom. Very good, sir. We need a motion to change the agenda, please.
I move we approve the agenda as amended.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. No opposed. We'll move on to public comment for items on the agenda when not covered by a public hearing. Anything? Okay, we'll move on to the consent calendar. This is where with one vote we can approve the minutes, the finance committee, regular session, workshop session from 9/17 and October 1st, and financials for September 2024. And the event calendar. Do we need to separate any of these for any commissioner for further examination? Good.
I move we approve the consent calendar.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. No opposed. It's unanimous. We do have an advisory item to discuss the East Boring Basin dredging. Director Isom and Assistant Director.
I'll go ahead and take that one. We went out for ITB, so an invitation to bid for dredging. We ended up getting three bids, roughly between $700,000 and $2 million, the 35,000 cubic yards that we were looking at this year. We're going to end up foregoing dredging this year for a couple of reasons. One is it's a little more than we were budgeting. We originally budgeted $400,000 for dredging of the East Basin. But the bigger issue that we have now is that we have some challenges with the permits. When we initially had the permit approved, it was approved with disposal in the A2 and A3 zones. And now with the City of Astoria and DLCD, there's some concern about whether discharge is going to be allowed in an A3 zone, which is typically done through a conditional use permit. But they are working on language to address that, and they will not have that addressed until spring of next year, which will not allow us to dredge this year. So one of the things that we did is we provided in this packet action item 9D, which is the request for expenditures for the removal of the East Basin Causeway, which is closer to what we had budgeted for the East Basin dredging, and will basically look as a kind of a replacement project for the dredging, as we're moving the dredging out of the budget and looking to put the removal of the causeway in the budget. So, and with that, I'll open it up to questions if you have any.
Just a comment. I think I like the idea that we're moving forward in some form and working to improve the East End Mooring Basin by moving. And I think in the offline conversation with the executive director, talked about how in the future we hopefully go after funding that would help show that we have taken steps to try to remediate the whole causeway issue.
Matt, what's the net effect of not dredging this year?
Not dredging, we have a lot of shoaling there, obviously. Our biggest concern is the use of the boat dock out there. That's not going to preclude us from using it for fishing season next year, but we do need to do dredging next year to make sure we can open that.
Okay.
Couple of questions. First of all, the commission hasn't seen any specs on that. What part or all or the piling has to be pulled or what is it? And while we're on that, I think that when we put these jobs up for bid, we should be able to view the specs ahead of time before we come in here and try to decide whether or not we're going to pay for that or whatever, you know. It's always been the policy in previous years, and all of a sudden somebody has changed it. I don't know who. But I would like to take a good look at the specs and see what else has come out. Does the piling come out?
No.
They don't come out?
No.
Does that big pier in the middle there that...
We're going to talk about this later on in the agenda. This is just about the dredging only.
Well, yeah, we're talking about taking it out too, and that's the question I have. Mm-hmm. how do you set that forth in the specs, you know, so every contractor has a fair shot at it?
Well,
that's what we need to know. We need to know these things because we're making a decision whether we want to do it or not.
It's in the packet. There's three bids.
Where?
On page 66.
I think he's talking about the actual specs.
We're talking about the dredging specs, right?
Yes, sir.
No. I think he's talking about removal.
I'm talking about the demolition.
Oh, okay.
Which is later on in the agenda.
Okay. But anyway, that's a transparent way of doing it, because we come up here blindfolded and try to make a decision on this stuff. We don't.
So I would challenge that a little bit. I mean, we're going after contractors for work all the time at various levels, and we do have procurement policies in place that we follow. I don't know what policies you reference that used to happen in terms of commission approval for those things. If they exist, I'd like you to point me to those. But really, it's an administrative job that we go out, we put together these invitation to bids, knowing that ultimately, per our procurement rules, that it's going to be the commission that approves that. I don't know that in function it really works to have every time we're getting work done at the port that we go to the commission for approval before we ever go out to solicit bids, because some of those bids, you know, even the small ones are happening almost daily, where Joe in maintenance is calling contractors, getting informal bids. Obviously, as the dollar amount, depending on the type of the project, go up, that bidding process gets more formal. But you know, I've been at the port almost 10 years now, and I don't ever remember a process by which administration would go to the commission to get approval for the actual bid documents. Typically, that's administrative, and then to actually spend the money to sign the contract to encumber the port, that would be the commission. And all of our larger bids are public, so those are available to anyone, including the commission. But I don't know that we should be going through an approval process for the actual invitation to bids or the solicitations, because I think that falls more on the administrative side as outlined in our procurement policy.
I disagree with you on major jobs like this completely. I've been doing this for 40 years, and this is the first place I've ever seen that didn't let their commission see the specs, the technical specs at least, before they let a bid out. And that gives them an opportunity to make changes.
So are you saying you want to see the specs, or are you saying you want to approve the specs?
I don't know. No. When we approve them, it has to come to a regular meeting. But I think we should have time to look at them before that meeting, not the day of it.
But we have that now, because the actual bid document, that's all public. It's, I mean, pull it right off of our website.
That's not the technical spec, though.
We could email you those directly. I guess the question would be what the role of the commission would be on that, because an individual commissioner reviewing those doesn't have any authority to change them. It would have to come to a commission meeting in order to make
approved it. Approved it yet. That's what I'm saying. We need to look at what you're doing so we can see what we're approving. In other words, the technical specs we should be able to observe those before they go to bid.
I guess that's a discussion we can have at a future meeting, if that's something that we want to include in our procurement rules, that the commission would approve specs before we ever work on any bid documents.
Right.
But that's not the policy now, and
well, I don't want to change that policy. I really don't, because I've been in this for a long time, and even the Port of Astoria used to have everything presented to the commission before they went to bid with it, so they can make the changes necessary. Who does the specs on this?
Mr. Chairman, this is not the item of discussion on the agenda. It's your meeting.
Well, let me talk a little bit. God damn it, you talk all you want to. So.
Well, there's an order. That's why we have a meeting on the agenda.
We do have kind of a blend here of both the dredging and the causeway.
It's a blend, but
I'd like to entertain the discussion that Commissioner Campbell wants on dredging. I do want to say I've been here 8 years, Mr. Rowan. I think you've been here for 10. I do not recall the era that Commissioner Campbell speaks of when we actually had the bids drawn out here and saw all the specifications. I think we've always done it the way that the current director is doing it. But proceed, Commissioner Campbell.
Well, I said about all of this, that I think that we need to be able to look at what we're putting out to bid, because it is a policy.
What policy?
This is something that the commission is responsible for approving.
Per what policy?
Well, construction.
I think we're talking about specs.
We're talking about some technical specifications.
Well, just for example, like technical specs that we look at for dredging, we have engineers put that together and we've never brought that to the commission ever. So that's...
What engineers put it together?
It's advanced remediation. They do the cut specs, the prison specs, all of that. And all that goes through environmental, goes through permitting, and that's all done on the engineering side. And we've never brought that to the commission for approval. It's all done based on our permit requirements.
There's no question that Commissioner Campbell has a background in dredging, and I think we should value his expertise. I'm just not sure how we get to what he's asking for. Are those specs available online, as you mentioned?
Yeah, the specs that we put out for any contract are going to be in the invitation to bid or the RFP. So whatever ITB or RFP is submitted or published, the technical specs will be in there.
Are they proprietary or are they available? They are public.
They're public.
The staff is available before meetings to ask their questions.
Mm-hmm. Well, all we have to do is let the commission know that we're working on that so that our valued commissioner that has some knowledge on that subject could peruse it at his leisure. That would not be a problem, but...
Well, looking at Pier 2 West, for example, I mean, this is engineering that we're dealing with on a weekly, bi-weekly basis and have been for the last several months. So we're talking a 9-month process. At what point does the commission need to approve all the engineering that's going to be going on with Pier 2 West, for example? And this is hundreds of hours of work.
This is not the agenda item we are discussing. To be clear.
Well, for example, on the East End Basin, I don't know whether you're going to pull a pilot or not. We have no information ever since we're going to do. Where do we go and where do we start and where do we end on that?
In the invitation to bid, it's clear that that no piling needs to be pulled.
There's a description on page 65.
I suggest that we take this into consideration and arrange another private meeting. It would not be private, but a meeting between Commissioner Campbell and the staff to further discuss it. If there's anything that comes up that's going to change our approval of the concept, we will have to get back to the commission.
You don't need a motion to delay the action item, but we're not even on that action item.
No, we're on the advisory for East Moreland Basin Dredging. Would that be acceptable?
We can meet offline, that works.
Mm-hmm. You have anything for me?
That's fine.
Thank you for your indulgence. We're ready for the action items. First item, item Alpha, item A9A, is to set up an LGIP account, which was follow up on a recommendation from the Finance Committee. The director?
Thank you. Commissioner Stevens and our finance director had the audacity to be sick today. So she had planned on talking to this, so I'll do my best. And actually, we have the chair of our finance committee here in attendance, David Ozer, who was actually the finance committee member who had brought this forward to us. And so maybe he can fill in the blanks or correct me if I say anything wrong here. But this LGIP is the local government investment pool. And the idea being here, right now our deposits are held with Lewis and Clark Bank, and obviously throughout the year those vary. This tends to be, as we're at the end of our busy season and heading into our maintenance season, sort of our time of best cash flow. So I think as of this morning, minus unclear checks, we're just over $2 million in our operating account, which is pretty healthy for this time of year. But we know that from now until basically March, we're going to be spending more money than we bring in, and so having that buffer is good. However, if in the meantime we can get better returns on some of those deposits, obviously it would be of benefit. And so what we're looking at doing is investing in the Oregon Short-Term Fund. As of July of 24, and this is an investment fund, so returns aren't guaranteed. It's not like a savings account where you have a stated interest rate, but as of July of 24, the rate was 5.3%, which is more than double what we're getting on our current deposits and on, depending on how much we decide to transfer. But even if it were half of our total deposit right now, that's fairly significant in terms of what we're losing out on by not doing this. A couple key points on this. This is managed by the state treasury, and unlike a traditional checking or savings account, it's not insured by FDIC. Although the point of this fund is to preserve principal and also give liquidity. So in saying that, there are strong protections against credit defaults, but obviously changing market conditions could change the returns that we're getting through this fund. And so it is the recommendation of staff that we move forward with moving funds into this local government investment pool. Understanding too that with the liquidity piece, fees are, and it's outlined in the packet, I believe on page 29, very low fees in terms of transactional costs should we need to move money. We actually used to do something similar, not with this fund, but with a separate money market account where we would do, I think it was a weekly sweep because the money market account was getting a better return than we were getting on our operational account. So we're asking for commission approval for us to invest in this LGIP. And with that, I guess, David, do you have anything to add to that?
Just briefly. Basically, this is the equivalent for government entities of a money market mutual fund. It's not technically that because of, it's not registered with the SEC and open to the public and so forth, but it invests in short-term debt instruments, U.S. Treasury bills, government agencies, commercial paper typically issued by large banks or like motor company financing arms, Honda and so forth, and Toyota and whatnot, that have short-term needs for cash. So we will get most of this money, at least half of it, is in investments that are 90 days to maturity or less, and almost all of it, I think the average, as we were looking at it, is about 90 days. So there's very, very little chance of price risk if the price is moving around in a negative way. So, there are other investment vehicles that the state offers that have different risk return characteristics that have longer maturities and so forth. Someday, the court may wish to consider those, but at the present time, this really is like a money market fund and will get money market returns. I should just add briefly, the term money market is a kind of colloquialism. Banks use it as a marketing term. A money market account in a bank is a savings account. They pay you whatever they feel like paying. What you're earning here is what the debt instruments are actually earning themselves. called money market because they're very short term and they're maturities. So if there are any questions, I'm happy to answer it. Otherwise,
any kind of risk factor?
It's very, very limited. Most of this stuff, I mean, half of it is U.S. Treasury securities. And when you're talking about FDIC insurance, I mean, the FDIC is a branch of the U.S. Treasury. So here you're investing directly in United States Treasury securities. Most of the rest of it is very, very high-grade corporate type of names that are extremely strong financially. So the risk here is not, there's no such thing as an investment without risk. But the risk here is extremely limited, and it would. This is managed by the state of Oregon, the cities, counties, all sorts of special districts have money in this, and their goal is not to have any losses.
Thank you. Questions?
I think it's a great idea. I appreciate you bringing this forward. I think that's fantastic. Part of a banking improvement company, we do the exact same thing. We gain a higher return with money that's not necessarily working. So I think it's great.
Mr. Spence, did you receive the packet for this meeting?
I guess we're not getting through.
You're on mute, Commissioner.
Well, for the benefit of our guests anyway, I wanted to mention, I don't think it was made 100% clear. This is an Oregon State Treasury route we're going, okay? Not federal. We need a motion to approve the LGIB application and authorize the staff to sign.
So moved.
Second.
I have a motion and a second. Is there further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Have a unanimous vote. I think it's a great idea. Thank you. Next item B. Is Business Oregon loan application for the Bales hangar purchase. We want to authorize a loan in the amount of $240K, and you'll find the information on page 42. And I need authorization from the commission to sign for it to make the application. You want to look it over? Director, anything to add?
We've talked about this, I think, a few times here at the meeting. We've obviously already purchased the Bales hangar, but we are working on financing on the back end. So the total loan amount we're seeking is $240,000. As soon as we get approval for this, we'll lock in the rate. But based on the rates we were quoted, they were about a percentage point and a half lower than we were getting through other sources we were looking at. And then the other important component of this, because we are seeking some grant funding, to help with this purchase, is that there is no early payoff, any termination fees. And so if some of those grant funds do come through, we can get this paid down fairly quickly.
Questions for the director?
The overall sale price was 300, is that
300, correct. So it's basically what, 20% down, so asking for the 240.
next item, item C, is our watershed wellness lease agreement.
Commission, for this we have our terminal services and property manager Sue Transu here to talk a little bit about the proposed lease.
Welcome.
Good evening, commissioners. I'm here to present the watershed wellness lease. The lease began in December 1st, 2019. It's set to expire on November 30th, 2024. The original lease includes four suites of the 10 Pier 1 building and allows for one five-year renewal period. And they do have a second lease for suite 304 at the 10 Pier 1 building as well. I'm here because the tenants have requested a change in the terms of the new lease. The tenant wishes to combine the original lease and the second lease for suite 304. The tenant also has requested a change in the terms to include a three-year lease with one additional three-year renewal option. And the new lease would supersede and cancel all previous lease agreements. So I'd like to receive your review and approval for the watershed wellness lease.
And you're supporting it and recommend approval?
Yes.
I move we approve the commercial lease agreement between the Port of Astoria and the Watershed Community Wellness LLC.
I'll say it. I don't think I have any choice.
We have the motion and a second. Discussion? They're the current tenants, correct? This is a renewal?
Correct. It's just renewal.
But only for 3 years?
For 3 years with an additional three-year option to renew.
Okay. Motion and a second. Further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It is approved unanimously.
Thank you.
Thank you. And our item D, 9D, East Basin Marina Causeway removal. It's time has come.
Okay, I have a question.
Certainly.
Where does the disposal debris go?
Yeah, debris is the contractor's responsibility.
They have to haul it off.
Correct.
Thank you.
So on page 65 of your packet, Commissioner, is the request for expenditure. It's RE0202 for the East Basin Marina Causeway removal. As you know, over the last few years, it's been failing at an accelerated rate. So we've got about 300 feet of it that were initially falling in the water, about 600 feet of it still standing. This bid is seeking to remove all of it. So everything that is still standing, including concrete, all the post caps, all of those things, and then also getting into the water and removing everything that's fallen into the water thus far. So we went out to bid for this, ended up getting three different bids that you'll see on 66, page 66, every packet. One from Bergerson Construction for $519,500, one from HME for $795,000, and one from Rollins for $1.15 million. As I mentioned to Commissioner Campbell, this is 100% the contractor's responsibility to remove all of the material from the water and to dispose of it. So the port has no responsibility after this money is seen. So what we're looking to do is get permission from the commission to engage with Bergerson Construction for the removal of the East Basin Causeway, and to have that happen soon. They can probably start work within the next few weeks, remembering that we've got an in-water work window to work with, so between November 1 and February 28 is when we need to get the work done. So just looking for approval from the commission to move that way.
Questions for the staff?
How is that going to be paid for then?
What's that now?
How will that be paid for then?
We don't have any grants for it, that's what you're asking. Yeah, so it'll just be coming from our account.
The money that was budgeted to do the dredging at the East End Mooring Basin is going to be used to do this.
Okay,
that's that switch then. Yeah, that's what it was.
Okay.
It was not budgeted for it, but we're going to make a pretty even switch. Further questions?
I move we approve the Basin Marina Causeway removal.
Second.
Ferguson Construction.
Yeah.
$590,000.
Further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Any unanimous approval? Now we're ready for item echo, the intergovernmental agreement with the Oregon Marine Board, which would authorize us to accept.
Yes, the port submitted a grant application for piling replacement in the West Basin Marina earlier this year. Went to Hood River and chatted with their board and made a presentation for a project a couple of weeks ago. And Oregon State Marine Board has gotten the grant award letter to us, as well as the agreement. And basically, it's about half of what we're looking to spend at the West Basin for pile replacement this year. The commission earlier approved $250,950 for the pile replacement. This will cover $125,000 of that. So I guess one of the things I'd like to really point out is the Oregon State Marine Board has been very good and easy to work with on this. This is one of the smoothest grant awards I think that we've gone through. The grant letter that you see as far as the grant agreement, there are always some minor changes to make on that. Basically, point of contact and the total amount of the award and what the port is actually going to contribute to the funding and the timing of the funding. So one of the conditions of this grant is that we have to have the project completed by June of 2025 and funds expended by then. And what I told the Oregon State Marine Board when I was in Hood River is that we'll have it done by December. So if you look at what's going on with Ferguson and the West Basin now, they are working on the last phase of this, so they will have it completed by the end of November. And so we'll be able to submit that to the Oregon State Marine Board and then get that in for reimbursement by no later than January of next year. So what we're looking for from the commission is approval of the agreement. The subsequent agreement, what's coming from the Oregon State Marine Board based on the changes that are proposed here and the grant award letter that you see on page 2 of the additional packet.
So moved.
Second. Any further discussion? Well, all in favor of accepting money, say aye.
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 Any opposed? Very good. Good work, and keep that up. That concludes our action items. We are ready for public comment for non-agenda items. No public comment for non-agenda items. Applications were submitted. So we're going to move to Executive Director comments. Director Eisen.
Thank you, Commissioner. So I guess before I start here, I do want to thank Director McGrath for subbing in for me last week and helping to get this agenda together. And he had met with Commissioner Stevens last Thursday, which I typically do. I took a few days vacation, so it feels like I'm still kind of getting back in the swing of things. But I appreciate you putting all this together. And then Commissioner Stevens working with Matt to get this agenda done. So a few updates, and some of these the commission may already know a little bit about. The first one that I wanted to touch on was a status update on where we are with the city of Warrenton in terms of getting our mitigation approved for the Pier 2 project. So as the commission and probably most of the public is aware, we were denied by the City of Warrenton Planning Commission here several weeks ago for our application that provides estuary mitigation for the Pier 2 project. And so initially what we had done is file an appeal, which was to be heard by Warrenton City Council. Now in the meantime, we had brought in some more expert help. We had hired an environmental attorney to help guide us through this process. Obviously, we've had consultants on the mitigation side that have been kind of ushering us along as well, and then also having communications with City of Warrenton staff. And so one of the things that we learned was if we were to move forward with the appeal to the City of Warrenton Council and that were to not be approved, that next appeal process through LUBA was, according to our attorney, very unlikely to be successful. Kind of the precedent is that those typically don't get overturned, and in similar cases to ours, the decision of the jurisdiction was upheld. And so his recommendation basically was to go back to the drawing board with City of Warrenton staff to try to get them on board with what our plan is, because I think in talking with the mayor, I think there's going to be a lot of weight from the council placed on the recommendation coming from their staff. And so Matt's been working on coordinating those meetings. We're hoping to actually meet this Thursday with City of Warrenton staff, the City of Warrenton attorney, as well as support staff and our consultants, because I think there's fundamentally just some misunderstanding of what the port's options are, because at its core, I think the pushback from the city and from the Planning Commission basically was, we understand the need, we understand how important Pier 2 is, however, why don't you explore some alternative options? And in the work that we've done with our consultants, we found that there may not be any viable options that are going to work in this case, and so I think there needs to be a bit more of an education process and working with the city so that we can be on the same page, so that when we reapply, we can have the recommendation from the city, which I think would bode well in terms of getting an approval. So obviously, we're hoping to move this along quickly, and I will update the commission as we know more. The other thing, and I should have brought this up earlier, that we were made aware of from our environmental attorney, is that if we do go through with this appeal process and are unsuccessful, that sets off a 12-month window before you can do any other application or appeal for the same project. And so obviously we don't want that to happen. That would move us back a full year. We'd rather try to get the work done right now up front and have a little more assurance that we're going to have success with the City of Warrenton. And so that's the path we're going down right now. So obviously from our end, it's a bit frustrating in the sense that this is sort of the last piece hanging out there before we can submit our joint permit application. I think ultimately we're going to get there, but it's going to take a little bit of work. Matt, do you have anything to add on that?
No, the only thing that I would add is that we have a tentative meeting set for Tuesday, 9 a.m.
And the public hearing is on the 12th.
So that's off the table now.
Oh, you can't?
We pulled that off because, again, okay, we didn't have the staff support, and if we didn't get approval, then we would be in a tough spot.
So my understanding, based on conversations I've had with the executive director, that the concerns that were raised had to do with using that site for industrial development, potential mitigation site. And that in itself may be incredibly problematic in terms of them trying to develop that for a multitude of reasons that I've been made aware of by the Watership Council coordinator. But that mitigation site does support economic development in our region. I hope that once we all understand that there is a net economic benefit for our economy, that it will support it.
Yeah, there are real questions with this FEMA buyout about the future of that property and how developable it might be. The other thing for the public to be aware is this is actually port property. It's property that we own. It's not City of Warrenton property. It's port-owned property. So that's that update, and then just a couple other quick things. We did get our website back up and running. I know the City of Astoria has been going through the same struggle. We actually went with an outside vendor. iFocus had been our vendor for our web services, as well as the city, actually, and they were wasn't actually the port that was the target of this cyber attack. It was iFocus itself, and so through a third-party vendor, we were able to get the website up and running. So hopefully it's back up to full functionality now. I think it's working pretty well from what I've seen. Commissioner Roan already mentioned it. We did get our fall newsletter out. There's some good information in here. And I've already heard some positive feedback. And as Commissioner Roan had said, I think when people see this, it kind of sparks their interest in what we're doing down here. And I think, you know, to give these updates to the community in a way that we're kind of just spoon feeding them, I think is good. Whereas sometimes those same people may not seek out what the port is doing. And so I do want to thank Melanie's the one who coordinates this newsletter and has done an excellent job with it. And, you know, over the years has made continuous improvement. And I think it looks really professional and reflects well on the port.
I think we need to figure out how to get it out to more places that were, like I said, your local barber shops and things like that. People are looking for something to read. It's brief but spectacular in my mind. It's not too much, but it's...
Okay. I don't know what, Dan, do you happen to know the total number of copies we did of this?
I don't have the number off the top of my head.
Okay, it's a lot though, but we could work on our distribution channels, I guess, to see what areas would be most effective. We have several different mailing lists I know this goes to, but maybe posting them at some of the local businesses downtown would be good.
The doctor's office, dentist, things like that. We are waiting in the waiting room.
And then just a scheduling update, we are planning to do an executive session before our workshop on the 19th. So that would be at 3 o'clock, executive session, and then the workshop meeting would follow at 4 o'clock. That's my update.
Further questions for the director?
Yeah, I have one. Where are we with the rental? Somebody to rent that hangar.
Which hangar?
The one, the mayor's hangar.
So we do have a tenant lined up. Initially, we're looking at doing something shorter term just to kind of see how things are going to work. If it goes well, then we would come to the commission potentially with a longer term agreement.
Is it going to be mainly a major aviation type operation?
I can get you the information. The name of the company is Rightway. I can get you some information on them.
Yeah, I think there needs to be some discussion on that. Before we enter into anything, because it sounds to me like that maybe it's not going to be aviation at all.
It's just a beer ring you've gone before.
Pardon? And that is inside the fence, so.
Okay. We can talk offline about it.
Okay. When is that supposed to come about? Next meeting?
Well, so per our policy, leases under, this will be a short-term lease initially, so leases under 1 year don't go through the commission. Those are run through administration. Anything that's 12 months or longer, I think there's a dollar threshold we put in there now too, those would go to the commission for approval. So I think the idea, we get them in there, see how things go, and then ultimately get a longer term agreement if things work out, and then that would go to the commission.
Further questions? Discussion? We're moving on. Our upcoming meeting dates, we will have a workshop session November 19th at 4 p.m. and a regular session December 3rd. 4 p.m. And for business,